Ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see our friends. We're on a roll, on a honey.
In San Francisco?
Well, it looks like San Francisco has come to Orlando. We'll tell you what we mean here in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show, coming to you live as we can be on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. We are up on the Titan Cave Cam, where you can see us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. Of course, you can always listen to us on AM660TheAnswer.com, your smart devices. And you can still download the free Answer Orlando app and, of course, on your Alexa devices. All kinds of ways to take advantage of our show. And, of course, on Facebook, you can watch it later at your convenience if you're not able to right now. And, you know, of course, you can always visit our archive as well. That's at AmericanAdversaries.com. Well, we're going to have Abe Katzman join us live from Jerusalem here momentarily. A little bit later on in the show, Nostradamus is going to join us. We'll spend a little time with our crypto man, Dino Rentos. We got a lot to talk about tonight, including Paul Manafort and the newly released FISA court warrant application.
Right.
The first one that was approved, anyway. Mm-hmm. 412 pages it is.
Did you read it before you went on the air today?
Well, it's kind of easy because about three quarters of it's been redacted.
I was going to say it was all blank pages.
It's
great.
Like...
terrific.
He went down to the... And then it's redacted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was... but, yeah, I read enough of it and then observed others' observations of it enough to get the picture. And, of course, there's just enough of it removed that you can fill in the details that you want. See, that's sort of the beauty of it.
And either side walks out the door right. Supposedly the winner.
Right, because you can fill in.
Which is bad news.
It's like one of these color by the numbers things, you know. It draws the outline. You can fill in the
colors.
I'm
a great artist, even though I don't know how to draw. Unbelievable.
All right.
Not good.
So that is the chairman of the board, the union boss himself, in tonight because this week, you got union boss business up to the swamp.
We actually do. I mean, you heard of K Street in Washington. I'll be on L Street. That's where the NFL player offices are, and We have a calling. So we'll be there Sunday and Monday.
You're going to be bouncing around town looking for Lisa Page.
I'm looking for Red Sparrow.
That's what I mean.
Hello. Now I understand how that young man who got trapped, what was his name? You know, because he was mouthing off in the
Carter
bar.
Page?
He was drunk and everything. Remember the
Carter Page? No, that was the other guy.
You know, the younger guy, right?
Papadopoulos.
Papadopoulos is probably innocently in there mouthing off, trying to pick up somebody, right?
Yeah.
And then he gets caught in all this triangle. What a nightmare. Only in Washington, right?
Right.
Crazy.
Speaking of a nightmare, the Orlando City Council unanimously approved something that they called the Fair Treatment of All Trust Act policy.
Are they financial planners? That's what it sounds like, right? Trust Act policy?
Yes. Fair Treatment of All Trust Act policy.
You know something bad's coming with that title.
And this is a sanctuary city type policy. All right. And what it means is that when the police are questioning someone, they will not be able to ask them about any of their immigration status. Should they suspect, for instance, that this person may be an illegal immigrant for whatever reason, they will not be able to ask the individual that question. And, of course, this is the policy in a sanctuary city because the whole idea is that you don't want to know this information so that you don't aren't encumbered by the task of having to tell the federal agencies about it. And then, of course, having to perhaps, in some cases, pass an illegal over to the federal government. They don't want to be bothered with that.
But does this make us technically a sanctuary city? Could I call this a sanctuary city like I do San Francisco?
I would say that if you were stepping over, a wall or a line to get into a sanctuary city, you got one foot firmly planted there and the other on the toe getting ready to leave the ground and follow it over.
So in other words, your city councilman...
Because this is the practical policy.
Right.
You see? They don't have to say sanctuary city. All they have to do is tell the police, don't do anything that would be tantamount to making the city a sanctuary city.
So they're not concerned about the public safety of our citizens.
Correct.
Through any type of illegal act.
Correct.
Whether it's murder, rape, whatever.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Nice. Now,
the City Council of Orlando unanimously did that. Did this. Now, we'll be looking to see, and I must admit, I don't know, I'll get my ballot out tonight or whatever I can do to find out, see if there are any city council members up for re-election this go-around. I would suspect maybe one or two are. We will definitely find out, and we will encourage people to, if they have an opponent, to vote for the opponent, and this be given the reason why.
What's amazing, how could it be unanimous? Does anybody there think at all, or do you just follow the head rat? Right to the cheese.
The head rat being Buddy Dyer in this case, but he's got a lot of help with Patty Sheehan and others that sit on the council.
So you just round them all up, and then you just march in, and everybody does the same
thing. Well, this is what elections are for. Mm. If you don't agree with the policies.
No, I agree. I mean, the public gets what they deserve if this is how you want it.
Well, and it may very well be that this is the way the people in Orlando city limits want it. But just look at the name. It's obvious that they're trying to obfuscate what's going on. The so-called Fair Treatment of All Trust Act policy. Well, what in the hell is that supposed to mean?
If that were headlines, not one person would know what they're
exactly
talking about. I would think maybe you're talking about the city finances or something.
Right. Now, I had seen this coming. And I must admit, I did not spend a lot of time talking about it because I knew what was going to happen. You know, it wasn't a matter of stopping them doing what they did today. Mm-hmm. It is now a matter of correcting it by electing them out. By the way, this is where Orlando is the first city in the state of Florida to do this.
Wow, we should be congratulating. No, not quite, right?
Right.
Maybe we should get a roll of toilet paper and put it on every street corner, symbolic of what's to about come down the road.
Is it any different than what
happened in San Francisco?
It's an invitation to all sorts of
shenanigans,
bad sorts of people.
Right.
And look, if people are here lawfully, they don't have a problem.
I support them 100%.
Right. But this is to protect those who are here hiding. It clearly is. because it is to prevent the police from finding this information out. Now, the police, if these people are detained in custody, I don't think, and I'll look it over tonight, it just passed this afternoon, see what they actually passed. I don't think that it can prevent the police from doing an investigation of someone who they have in custody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This would be if they pulled you over on the side of the street for running a stop sign, or maybe something's going on downtown and they stop some people to question them or something like that. This would prevent the police from asking any questions that would have to do with immigration policies. That's why I say it's 1 foot firmly planted and the other one fixing to follow it. You know, we're not entirely in the sanctuary city yet, because that would also include not allowing the police to determine and turn over people in their custody. Once again, though, I will check to see if this addresses that. But the drafts that I had seen are what was now, the news agencies are reporting.
Don't you think
past.
That all these illegal immigrants that are located around the country are in communications as to what?
Of course.
Right. This is where I'm going. So now I think there's one shining light here that may save us. I don't think when they read the word fair treatment of all trusted act policy,
they'll know what
that
the
they'll
heck
recognize
it is.
It's a sanctuary city. No, you know.
Hey, you know, there's
no,
a great...
No, I guarantee they'll have a translator. It'll be very clear exactly where you're headed.
There is definitely a grapevine out there, right?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
All right. Let's take Brad's phone call. He wants to talk about Carter Page. Over the weekend, the president... declassified the first warrant request for that was approved, because if you remember, the very first one, as Aubrey reminded me last night, was actually turned down. And they came back with this one. This is the first one that had the dossier as the primary source of information that they were using. They were zeroing in on Carter Page, a man who had worked with the FBI previously, voluntarily, and actually helped them round up some people they were after. But for some reason, this time they decided to go after him instead. So that's the setup. Brad's on the line. Thanks for calling, Brad. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I've been calling you guys for several years now, and I really believe that all the stuff we've talked about through the years pales in comparison to what I believe. That it's just starting today with this Carter Page thing being declassified and then the Inspector General's report coming out. What we're fighting against is the fact that these so-called reporters, and you can go back to Watergate when you had John Dean and Bernstein and them really trying to do investigative journalism to uncover Watergate and Nixon's paranoia. Well, the thing that really makes me angry here is I truly believe that Barack Obama was paranoid that Trump was going to undo everything he did. And he went after this guy. And I think that we need a whistleblower. We need something. But I don't want to sound conspiratorial. But when you go to a FISA court judge and you're pretending it's about Carter Page, and now 2 years later, Carter Page has done nothing wrong, this comes from the very top, the Justice Department headed by Loretta Lynch and Barack Obama, to go after their political enemies. We have a foundation because we saw what he did with the IRS and that whole Lois Lerner thing and then the missing drop. There's a pattern here, but the mainstream media is protecting him. The difference in Watergate was they were trying to get Nixon because of his paranoid behavior. This time, the mainstream media, CNN, NBC, they don't want no part of this. We need either a whistleblower or the Inspector General's coming report. But I want to know if you guys feel the way I do. I really, in my heart of hearts, believe that that's a corrupt former administration. All things are leading to this. And I don't want to sound conspiratorial, but I hope you guys are going to beat this drum until we get something here.
Well, I think, in fact, what you're doing is oversimplifying, Brad, because I think this all actually started without any prompting from Barack Obama. Now, eventually he became in the know of this, and at what point, we don't exactly know yet. But we do know that he was in the know. We do know that he had things of his own to hide, primarily the fact that he had been passing classified emails back and forth with Hillary Clinton using his own alias and knowing that she was using, improper, if not illegal, means and that. But here's the problem is we're talking about a swamp that doesn't need to be prompted. I think if you read the emails between Strzok and Page, you clearly get the idea. They were working on pretty much the FBI was doing this on their own. And eventually they talk about how the White House wants to know what's going on. But the FBI was like, hey, this is what we do. You know, we don't need the White House. We don't need the Justice Department telling us what to do. This is part of the problem. I would like it had to have been all starting at the top with Barack Obama giving orders. Unfortunately, it's much more complicated and diffused than that. The problem is therefore much more complicated and diffused. If it were simply Barack Obama and his cohorts, that's fairly easy to take care of. But it is much deeper than that. Much deeper than that. And this is why I say I think you're oversimplifying. Yeah, Obama's in the know. He's in. You can put him in the, shall we say, misbehaving pen. But he didn't need to start all this, and he didn't start it. They did this on their own.
Chris, but you don't think that Loretta Lynch had an inkling of what was going on in this issue?
Not to begin with.
You don't think so?
No, they come to her afterwards and say, hey, Loretta, look what we found. Right? This is how it's done. And that's because at the top, they want plausible deniability.
I understand that.
Don't tell me what you're going to do. Just come back and tell me what you did. You see? Mm. This is how the game works. This is why it's going to be very difficult, if not near impossible, especially with all the masquerading and blocking and tackling going on, to actually tie this to the people at the very top. You see? It's just like a criminal organization. It's much easier to find the people at the mid and the low levels than it is the people at the top. And these people know how to incorporate plausible deniability into every doggone thing they do. Because it's what they do.
Yeah, so, this is what we do. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, boy.
And I wish it were, as Brad describes it. But I'm afraid to say the swamp is much broader and deeper than all that. Brad, I hope I didn't spoil your evening, but God bless you, man. You're thinking and you're working hard, and you have been calling this show, and we have been right on top of this with people like yours help. So thank you for being out there. Let's get Ken's phone call, then we got to take a break, and then Abe Katzman will be joining with us. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Ken, how you doing tonight? Appreciate you calling.
What's happening, boys? How are we today?
Excellent. You live in Orlando?
Well, no, but, you know, I used to up until about this week. I really enjoy going down to Orlando, going to a lot of the great restaurants, a lot of the great bars. I used to love going to Orlando City games, Orlando Pride games. As of this decision today, it's not going to be happening anymore. And I think that's the way we need to look at this. We need to, I mean, a lot of people will say, well, you're punishing the shopkeepers. Well, guess what? The shopkeepers were the ones with Patty Sheehan signs in their windows. We know how she voted. We know how the majority of, well, we know how the entire council voted.
Yep, unanimous.
We know that Orlando is a very left-leaning city, and that's fine, but this is breaking federal law. This is shirking your responsibility as a government. This is shirking your responsibilities to your people. It's absolute crying shame. It's a calamity. And the only way we're going to be able to do anything is to vote with our feet and vote with our wallets, those of us who don't actually have the ability to vote in Orlando.
Right.
And we have to be able to suss out what's Orlando and what's Orange County.
Yeah.
Because those lines are squiggly. So I don't want to penalize, you know, a business that's in Orange County and not in the city proper. But the city proper will no longer receive one dime, not a dollar of my money.
You know, Ken, that's a great response when you think about all the things that are taking place downtown, like the Citrus Bowl, the bowl games, the football aspect, the basketball, everything else. Everybody just says, hey, we're done. We're not coming downtown because of what you people did to this community. I think it could be very effective if well organized.
You put the safety of my family in jeopardy. So why would I come to a place that has no regard for an American citizen's safety? Why would I even bother spending an iota of my time there, or certainly put my kids at risk?
Yeah, I tell you, and I think that thought crossed the mind of the city council and the mayor, and that's why they called this thing.
Fair
Treatment of All Trust Policy Act. Mm. All right,
and I gotta say too, you know, as a conservative guy, as a guy who's you know been on the right side for a long, 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 long time. You know, I did not have an issue with Buddy Dyer as mayor of Orlando. I think that overall, understanding who he is, he's done a pretty good job getting some recognition to that town and really getting some good, strong notoriety for the city. I mean, we've come a long way in the city of Orlando in 20 years. We've advanced a lot. There's been a lot of new business there. There's been a lot of good stuff happening, and this just takes it all, in my opinion, and chucks it right down the toilet because you now have just jeopardized the city's safety.
Yeah, the City Beautiful may have to rethink that that slogan there.
I mean, think about the hotels and everything, too, even with people coming in from outside, if they were to hold this against them.
Yeah, they can change it from the City Beautiful to the City Fair Treatment of All Trust Policy.
Yeah.
All right,
city illegal.
All right, thank you, Ken. Appreciate your phone call. We're going to take a quick break. We got Abe Katzman already waiting, and it is, you know, midnight over there. He's coming to us live from Jerusalem. Let's do this and get right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Of course, it is now time to go to Abe Katzman coming to us live from Jerusalem. Abe, I don't know if you caught the tail end of that conversation we were having with one of our listeners. Our City Beautiful Orlando passed today unanimously something they call the Fair Treatment of All Trust Policy Act, which is actually going to prevent the police from asking people that they stop or detain for questioning prior to arrest whether they have any, you know, immigration issues. I don't think that's going to be something that will make its way into the law books over there, is it?
You never know. Look, the left wing is the left wing. They're the same everywhere. And you never know what they're going to do when they get in charge. Sometimes ideology trumps intelligence and wisdom and common sense. And, you know, this is, it doesn't shock me. You know, this kind of thing has been going on in other places, but it's always disappointing to hear these types of things.
Yeah.
And I really hope that there is strong pushback against it.
Yeah, we're not having a good summer here in Orlando. Let me ask, do you pronounce it Tisha B'Av?
Very good.
Okay.
You got it. Tisha B'Av is the, that's the ninth day of the Hebrew month of Av, and always comes out right around now. And it is the anniversary on the Hebrew calendar. It's really like the black day on the calendar. This is the date that both the first and second temples were destroyed, first by the Babylonians and the second one by the Romans. There have been other things that have happened. Jews were expelled from Spain. Just a long line of calamities. I think the liquidation of the, or the something dealing with the Warsaw Ghetto, maybe the deportation of people to Auschwitz from the Warsaw Ghetto, something like that also. I mean, it's just, it's one thing after another. But the important thing in Israel is that it is the anniversary of the destruction of these temples. And these temples were always, you know, these were the symbols of our, of sovereignty. And we still feel the absence of it here. People can argue, you know, should they build a third temple? What should they? I mean, nobody's going to do that anytime soon.
Abe,
would know how.
Let me stop you right there. We have to take a break, and I want to come back and, and ask you what the proper greeting is and how it is commemorated there in Israel. We'll come right back with Abe Katzman, and we'll, hopefully you'll be with us.
On the road again. I'm on the road again. I ain't got no
FM 105.5 and AM 660. 5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Members of Congress are pushing back against a White House idea of pulling the security clearances of former intelligence officials in the Obama administration who have criticized President Trump. Republican Senator John Cornyn of Texas calls it a very serious allegation to say the officials have been abusing their security clearance. Democratic Congressman Elliot Engel notes the questions surrounding Trump's relatives getting clearances and says for them to start pointing fingers is ridiculous. The Toronto International Film Festival is canceling an event to announce its planned film slate due to the deadly mass shooting in the city. Festival organizers said Monday that out of respect for those affected by the attack, the film slate will be announced in a press release instead. Two people were killed and 13 wounded when a man clad in black fired a handgun into restaurants and cafes in Toronto's Greektown neighborhood. This is SRN News.
News and the latest answer traffic now.
A road rage incident claims the life of a driver on the Beach Line on Saturday. Jeffrey Brookshire was hit from behind while driving his Mustang, which sent him across the median and crashing into a westbound vehicle. Brookshire died, and his passenger is in critical condition. The car that hit him took off, and according to witnesses, they were engaged in road rage for several miles. The Rays are playing the Yankees today at 7, and we'll have all the action for you live, brought to you by Hole-in-the-Wall Drywall Repair, Porky's Real Pit Barbecue, and the Man Cave Warehouse. Remember, you can always listen to your favorite Answer programming online at theanswerorlando.com or the Answer app. On this date, in 1988, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon fell from the Billboard Top 100 album chart after 736 weeks. Our high is 90, our low 76, and mostly cloudy. Your AccuWeather details in just a moment. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer News Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepard, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com, Dino, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Heavy slowdowns on I-4 starting at Colonial Drive, and that continues through downtown Orlando. Doesn't clear up until after the Dr. Phillips and attractions areas. 408 east and westbound are still clear. The ramps leading to it are beginning to get more congested. Highway 50 is slow from right around Cimarron Boulevard all the way to Pine Hills right now. I'm Zwayne, and that's your answer traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again for tuning in to the American Adversaries. Got Mike McBath in tonight. He's got union boss business going on in D.C. this week. So he's coming
I'm waiting,
in a night
you
early.
Know, if they're going to bring the issue up with our players, you know what I mean? And this, are they going to kneel again? And yeah. You know what my response is before I get there.
Yeah.
Which they're not going to want to hear.
Just if you run into Lisa Page, remember you're married.
I'll be like, oh, yeah. No, I can easily remember looking at her. I can tell you that.
And Carmen would take it out on her, right?
Yeah.
I am Christopher Hart. Coming to us live from Jerusalem is Abe Katzman, where today is Tisha B'Av. I believe I pronounced it again right, if I'm not. Abe, thanks again. And you were in the process of telling us about it marks the anniversary of the fall of the temple twice and other not so great things. And pick it up again from there, if you would, please.
Sure. So first of all, it was actually yesterday.
Okay.
It is a fast day. It's considered one of the two major fast days, Yom Kippur being the other one. And so it's a fairly major day. And it's funny when you asked before what kind of greeting is there, because we actually avoid greeting each other on this day. It's a day that it is an anti-social day.
Wow.
So everybody's supposed to be sort of in mourning to some degree. Now, one of the other customs that's developed around here is, you know, people go up to the Temple Mount. And yesterday, over 1,000 people went up there. And you'd think somebody was trying to commit who knows what, undermine all of Islam by the way the reaction they got from the Palestinian Authority and the Jordanians complaining about how these settlers stormed the Temple Mount, and this is a provocation against Al-Aqsa and against Islam and against all Arabs. Just a flagrant challenge to the Arab and Islamic nations, and just really hysterical stuff. And I wouldn't be all that surprised, except that the Jordanian ambassador was among those chiming in exactly with that same kind of language, calling for an immediate halt to these violations. You know, it's just, and this is Jordan. So I know that the Jordanian population is not disposed toward Israel in quite the same way as the Jordanian government is. But so every so often, I guess they have to throw bones to the population. But still, not a good sign.
No, especially considering what the day means. Let's talk about the situation in Gaza. I thought I had seen where there was a ceasefire, but then I think there was more violence. Mike wanted to ask you.
Yeah, Abe, I was just wondering, you know, I've read enough about this, but when they tie these, I guess, gasoline bombs or whatever to these kites, and then they fly them over, and then, you know, they drop wherever, and sometimes people are injured, houses burned down, et cetera, it sounds like they've actually gotten pretty much out of control.
Abe?
Yes, Israel has tried to come up with some way of defending against them other than just shooting everybody that they see, setting anything, you know, setting up kites or these explosive balloons, or, you know, it's tough. They've destroyed, I think, somewhere in the area of over 7,000 acres of farmland and nature preserves. It's a very strange thing because it's so low tech. And at the same time, Hamas is just daring Israel to shoot somebody who's playing with a kite, who's setting off a balloon. That, to them, has great PR value. So Israel has to be very careful exactly how it treats it.
Can your snipers, Abe, can your snipers see these people from where they are, putting these kites up? Are they all visible to your people?
I'm not sure. It may be that they can. It may be that they do this in the midst, as they often do, in the midst of other civilians or in residential. You know, they do this from residential areas. Hamas sniper killed an Israeli soldier, and Israel hit back hard. They hit a number of Hamas targets. Killed, by the way, with what apparently was an Iranian-supplied weapon. But the Egyptians told Hamas, do not respond to this. If you respond to Israel's response, there is going to be war, and they are going to come after you within 2 hours. So apparently Hamas listened. The semi-truce seems to be holding for the moment, but I wouldn't count on it. Eventually it'll stick, and then eventually it'll be violated. It's just an ugly, ugly pattern.
What's interesting is you just mentioned Egypt involved in this. Are they being used as a conduit, do you think, from the Israeli government to issue these warnings, or do you think they did it on their own with their own intelligence, shall we say?
I think they are the go-between, because Israel does not officially speak with Hamas, and Egypt can speak with both. I think they are a fairly trusted go-between, in fact.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the situation with Syria. Speaking of go-betweens, Vladimir Putin is trying to act as a go-between between Israel and now Iran. And Bibi Netanyahu rejected one of their recent proposals. And meanwhile, I wasn't aware of this, but you say that Israel has rescued some white helmets. What is all this about, and does it all work together somehow?
Everything's interconnected there. The white helmets were the name given to rescue volunteers, civil defense forces, who would come in and, without regard to anyone's religion, they would go into bombed buildings. They were first responders, and they would try to rescue as many people as they could. They were just focused on saving lives. Syrian President Assad, of course, decided that they are actually all al-Qaeda, and that al-Qaeda, that apparently must have shaved their beards, because they don't look like al-Qaeda.
Right.
They've really acted as heroes and put their lives on the line. There have been about 4,000 of them total who have rotated through different areas, and about 250 of them have been killed. So these people are serious about risking their lives in order to save lives. They're in areas that the Russian-backed Syrian forces are retaking. These are areas that were held by rebels, and because Assad doesn't like them, these people are afraid that they are going to be killed, that they will be executed if they're caught. So Israel managed to work out an evacuation of apparently 442 of them, brought them into Israel, sent them back into Jordan, got Jordan to temporarily waive its Jordan has a no more Syrians policy, but they decided to make an exception to it here. And these people are ultimately going to be resettled in the UK, Canada, and Germany, and they sound like they will be fine people, fine citizens. The difficulty here is apparently There are another 400 or so who were not able to get out. And they are in areas, they are surrounded by Assad troops. And I don't know if anyone's going to be able to rescue them or negotiate their safe passage anywhere. But we've got to, these are people that have to be worried about.
And but you mentioned that there were the Russians involved in helping get these the first group out, and
apparently went along with it. This is something that was engineered by Israel. Apparently, Germany and the UK and the US. I'm not sure who did what, but everybody kind of seemed to be in agreement that Israel should go in and bring these people out of Syria. And it's a pretty risky thing for Israel to do also.
Right.
You know, they're actually going into Syrian territory to do this.
While we're on the subject, one more question. Any more fallout from the Helsinki press conference over there? Because the president has held several press conferences or several interviews, I should say, since then, where he made it clear that he thought that it had been a good meeting, that he and Putin, you know, began to get down to some serious talk on issues like Syria. He mentioned specifically Israel. He mentioned specifically as well as other things. Any other big news or any other big concerns in Israel since last Monday?
Now, other than the Syria angle, which is important, but other than that, that story had about a 36-hour news cycle, and nobody cares anymore.
Okay.
They're on to other things. They're on the brink of war in one place and the brink of war in another place. They're not worried about what the president said.
Okay.
In response to a question at a press conference.
All right. Speaking of moving on to other things and brink of war, was it president of Iran, Rouhani, gave a speech where it was pretty inflammatory remarks, responded to by a Trump tweet, and sandwiched somewhere in there was a speech by Mike Pompeo, where he was talking about efforts the United States was going to undertake to support the people of Iran. And now you've got, the liberal media over here worrying that President Trump's going to start a war with Iran to detract from what happened in Helsinki. Oh. Abe, you want to take it from there?
This is not much different from the hysterics when President Reagan called the Soviet Union the evil empire, or when he joked that bombing would begin in 5 minutes. I don't understand. For one thing, there's on a certain level, this is kind of humorous. This is pushing back on the trash talk. And so that's enough. But besides that, I think they're really missing a bigger point here, and that is that the you look at the Pompeo speech where he's talking about how the regime has a $95 billion slush fund belonging to Khamenei or Rouhani or the Republican Guard. The people are in economic trouble, and they don't want to hear that the rulers have $95 billion stashed away. So this is all part of undermining the confidence, any confidence in the regime. And I think this is great as far as I'm concerned. It might not be the most presidential thing in the world, but in terms of hitting them back hard and telling them enough with the trash talk, because we mean it, enough threatening, no more threatening. And remember, in their eyes, he's crazy enough to follow through. they're really worried about him.
Well, the liberals sure are, that's for sure.
The liberal, yes, exactly. They're probably reading the New York Times. No wonder they're worried about him.
Yeah.
This all reduces the stature of the regime in the eyes of the people. And if you're trying unofficially to push to push a teetering regime over, I think it's a step in the right direction.
Abe, another thing on Iran, what do you think about the bank sanctions? You know, do you think this is really going to be strongly affect these people? I think it probably would. And again, you talk about just one more push. This could be another of the one more pushes.
Yeah, I think it's all of these things coming to a head at once, and they're in economic trouble. I think that we've talked about this before. President Trump knows when he has a winning hand, and he's not afraid to play it. And even if it ends up costing the U.S. a little bit here, a little bit there, we gain much more than we lose. And yeah, that, I think, is that's his calculation. I think that's why we're going through with this.
Right. You know, the numbers you hear is 40% unemployment in Iran. Is that possible?
You got me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it is, it's got to be a complete mess.
Well, that I believe, is a statistic of people 30 years old and younger, which is, by the way, also the largest part of their population.
Right.
So overall, it's probably less than that but it is still extraordinarily high, and especially amongst young people who have the energy to go out in the streets and raise
cane. They need something to do.
All right, Abe, if you'll stay with us, we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the European chess champion and why the European chess champion is not being allowed to play in the World Chess Championships, and then about something that happened in Los Angeles, which we should all as Americans be ashamed of. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Radio Show, coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios here, and Abe coming to us live from Jerusalem there. Thank you for being wherever you are as well.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax and Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. Learn more. Visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdowns as far back as Lake Monroe. They clear up in Lake Mary, but get congested again in Altamont Springs. All the way through downtown Orlando doesn't clear up until after the Dr. Phillips Attractions and Millennia area. 408 eastbound, starting to get a little congested in the 408-417 exchange. 408 westbound has some congestion when you get off I-4 that clears up right after John Young Parkway. I'm Zwain, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we have Abe Katzman joining us live from Jerusalem. Abe, let's do this story from Los Angeles first. This is what I'll call an add insult to injury type story. Please tell our audience what happened out there. It's disgusting.
Sure. In an area of central Los Angeles that once, a long time ago, was a Jewish neighborhood and then a Latino neighborhood, it's being gentrified a bit, and a new business opened up there, a new cafe that happened to be kosher and was owned by somebody who is an immigrant himself, a legal immigrant from Israel. He employs about 70 people in that and his other businesses, most of which are immigrants. But because of the anti-gentrification forces and anti-Trump forces, they have gone after him. He apparently had retweeted a couple of Donald Trump's comments at some point, which people have now taken to be proof that of his malignant intent and hateful comments and hateful attitude toward immigrants. So, of course, the thing to do is to protest loudly and throw feces at the building. It's interesting that they are he is, as an Israeli immigrant, he doesn't have the same status in their eyes as somebody who would have come from Central America. Intersectionality, yeah. The wrong kind of person.
A little anti-Semitism going on.
Chamber of Commerce went along with this.
Yeah,
the Chamber of Commerce terminated his membership and also said that it was that because of his hateful conduct, retweeting a Donald Trump tweet, hateful conduct towards immigrants.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable indeed.
It's scary, and from the way it looks, there's going to be more of it before it's over.
Yeah.
We were going to encourage him to move to Orlando until today.
Until our city council unanimously passed the Fair Treatment of All Trust Act policy.
So he's going to have to unfortunately go somewhere else.
All right. And this is another story that I hope has a happier ending. I tweeted out this person, all the other competitors should demand that, is it pronounced Leal Levitin, be allowed to compete in the World Championship, Chess Championship? Tell us the story, Abe.
Yes. Sure. Leal Levitin just won the European Children's Chess Championship. She's a little wisp of a girl. She just finished first grade, and she is a chess prodigy. I believe she has turned 7. Now, of course, that makes her a great threat to the Arab world, because the World Championship is going to be held in Tunisia. And because she's Israeli, they're not letting her into the country. Remember, Tunisia is supposedly one of the more moderate countries around.
Right, Africa,
They're not going to let her compete. She's the European champion. She's probably the favorite to win. And this is, it's so petty. You're not letting in a 7-year-old girl.
And she's not just Israeli. She's a girl. Imagine having to lose to a girl in chess.
How is she taking it?
Maybe that's their bigger problem.
Really? How is she taking it? How is she taking it, Abe?
I haven't seen, so far, all I've seen that is they've been showing video of her winning the European Championship, and it's actually very funny because she's a little tiny thing, even for a 6-year-old, and they put this medal around her, which is like bigger than her head. When she's wearing an draped with an Israeli flag, and they're playing the anthem. It's very nice, and she's obviously, this is a smart kid. You know, she speaks like somebody a lot more mature than your typical 7-year-old, but she's a 7-year-old. What? Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. All right, Abe, as usual, you are...
Got to go. Okay.
Yeah, very believable. Always. You're great. Once again, thanks so much for the wealth of knowledge tonight. We really appreciate you. Talk to you next week. Have a great week, and we'll be praying for you and Israel. Once again, Abe Katzman. That's Katzman with an S. All right, so we're going to do the contest on Wednesday night. It's going to be an easy challenge. Here it is.
This will be real simple. All we want you to do is come up with an original slogan which the Democrats couldn't do for their midterm. Remember, the Democrats came up with that great slogan, "For the People."
And
boy, was that original,
right? John Morgan doesn't mind a bit, by the way.
Imagine that.
He said, just spell his name right.
An example, mine might be socialist life, less strife. That could be.
Oh,
how about that one for some of them, right?
I think you got a little Marxist in your blood.
How about dumber Democrat? You know, these could be bumper stickers, you know, but this is what we're looking for.
A Democrat slogan. The contest will be Wednesday.
We need the help for the people's tube plan. No
Wednesday
good.
This week. We'll be right back.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group. It's
ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see our friends when I'm alone.
Dancing Queen.
Who are you calling?
No, we were referencing Brock.
Thank you.
Not yourself.
Thank you.
All right, old Nostradamus getting down to the opening music here. All right, you're listening to the American Adversaries Radio Show, hour number two on a Monday. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it as we help you get the week going in style. Speaking of in style, got Nostradamus dancing in style there. Ooh. For the Facebook folks. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. If you don't believe me, you can go back later and see.
I could see him on American Bandstand, not dancing in front of our cameras.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll be pixelated out for your safety.
That's right.
It might
maybe,
be.
Maybe. And Mike McBath, the union boss, is in tonight because this week, later on this week, he'll be out doing union boss business up in the Swamp, D.C. area. I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. The number for the Relax and Comfort Studios is 407-774-8255. Because Mike is in here tonight, we're going to do the contest this week on a Wednesday night, which means, Nostradamus, you should be here to help with the judging.
I will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this
Count
will be much more severe judging now that you'll be here.
Are you kidding? I'm a pushover.
Oh, okay.
If you send in cookies, you got an advantage.
Oh,
hear that,
okay. Peggy?
Peggy, ground control, Major Tom.
Well, all right.
What this is going to be is we want you to come up and help the Democrats with an original slogan for the 2018 election. You know, the Democrats came up with, this was really great thinking, for the people. Wow. Was that original? I think some local guy uses that.
There was actually an article in today's newspaper about that.
I know. I'm just going to get
it. And instead of demanding royalties, he's okay with it.
Oh, well, you know, it depends where you're coming from, right?
I guess he's flattered.
Yeah, like, whatever. But I would be sort of embarrassed if that was my slogan for a national campaign. So
we're going to help them out.
It's up to us, again, to help these individuals out. Now, we like to give examples. My example would be, and these are things that might be able to even be used on bumper stickers, possibly T-shirts, whatever. My example, the way the Democrats are acting now is, here we go, socialist life, less strife.
Mm.
Doesn't that sound appealing to very
sure
naive
does.
Young people that the Democrats could work over?
Yeah.
Make them
guaranteed
sound like
income,
social?
That
yeah,
kind of stuff.
I think that's a pretty good one, in all seriousness. Now, my other one might be a bit more aggressive. Dumber Democrat.
Mm.
Bit more aggressive.
Oh, that's the third level.
But it depends the style you want to go. But we need your input because four to people just even, well, it just doesn't cut it.
Well, see, now I think that we should do, give the folks as a slogan a right. sample of like what they give us. Like, I think the slogan should be fair treatment of all trust act policy.
Oh, jeez. I don't even know what that means.
That is the new policy that the City Council of Orlando passed unanimously today, which puts the City of Orlando alone in the state of Florida as making an official overture toward sanctuary city status. This will prevent the police department from asking questions of people that they stop or detain anything about their immigration status.
That's that is so bad to hide behind a title like that.
The
FATOA tap.
Yeah, well, see, they had to name it that.
Oh, I know where they know.
It says right. fair, so it must be good.
And I'm sure they're hoping that nobody
Trust.
In the media pays it any attention.
Yeah.
Because even though they want it to be the policy here, they probably don't want the tourists who are coming here to think
that's
twice
exactly
about
right.
it.
Because, you know, there will be people who will hold this against them and not show up for various events because I'm not putting my money downtown.
Does not the City of Orlando get federal funds for things?
I would imagine
like for
so.
Its police department, for its fire services?
Sure I don't doubt it, yes.
Yeah. Would not those funds be in jeopardy if the president were to hear that they're putting together a
Here's the technicality.
Policy like this?
Future funds, possibly, yes.
Yeah, right.
Funds that have already been allocated, no. The courts have already said that they got to be spent the way they were allocated.
Do you think this will affect the sheriff's election?
It could possibly.
Think about this,
it
right?
should be an issue. It should be an issue for any countywide or state, or I'm sorry, yeah, even maybe statewide.
And it's
statewide, countywide, citywide elections.
See?
What do you think about the Fair Treatment of All Trust Act policy?
We got an attorney general race this year.
This yeah. So they understand what it is, you know, but the point is, I mean, even in a sheriff's race. Is it Lopez and
John Mina?
Yeah.
Right. Ask each of them.
You know,
see where
Mina,
they stand.
John Mina
is
clarification
he's
on that.
The current chief of police, so
Without
I do
doubt.
Believe it would be a fair question to ask
That's
him
a fair one.
What does he think about this?
Right. Because as chief of police, he'll be either instituting that or fighting against it.
Right.
Right. Yep. All right. So it passed just this afternoon unanimously. I have not read the whole act. I'll try to get my hands on it tonight and read it, but from the way the media is reporting it and the pre-drafts that I saw, it basically ties the police's hands unless they arrest someone and put them in jail. Then I do believe they can check them out.
They arrest and put them in jail.
Print them, all that sort of thing. Right. But just, you know, in any other situation prior to being arrested, they cannot. So,
now,
once again, this
you just
is
wonder though. In all seriousness,
this
Chris,
is halfway down the road to a sanctuary.
How
city.
Many Republicans around the nation who are going to schedule a trip to Orlando might go? You know, they're playing the game again, and we don't like this. Oh boy, not a good economic move.
Well, I don't think they have this policy down to Reedy Creek yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have this policy up in Altamont Springs, but
yet
they do have it in the city beautiful, which may, if we become like San Francisco. We might want to rethink that.
Well, and if they establish a toehold within the city limits, well, then who knows what the towns and unincorporated places around them are going to
do. Our symbol could be a roll of toilet paper.
Metropolitan area, metropolitan Orlando area is one of the larger, I think it's like top 25 population-wise in the nation.
In the top 30 for sure. I think it might be 26, 27.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because markets and stuff. Okay. I want to get to a couple of news items. We got Diane on the line. If you would like to call us at 407-774-8255, that is the number, and we'll come back to this. But there is other news I do want to mention. Let's start with the market.
Yeah, a couple things today. I mean, it wasn't overexciting today. The market ended up down 13 points. We closed at 25,044. I think the one area that was rather unique is the 10-year Treasury jumped up 7 basis points, which actually is a lot. It closed at 2.96, which, you know, looks like we're going right back to 3. A couple interesting points in the area of GDP. The GDP comes out Friday.
Yep.
Now,
Second quarter.
Right, for the second quarter. And, you know, there's been a lot of estimates on this. Trump's estimates, he believes it'll come out at about 4.8%. Most of your economists are calling between 4 to 5, which would be very, very, very good. And the reality of it is, if it, let's say we're a 3.
Anything north of 3.
Right, should be certainly more satisfactory. I think we all know that what he's done has worked. But the reality of it is, anything less than that, then he might get some degree of aggravation. But we'll see where we go here.
You'd think he might have a little insider information.
Yeah,
he said between 4 and 5.
He's making a strong prediction on this, and I have to laugh about it. And then the other thing, too, he was on later today at around 3:30, and they had a White House conference on a Made in America showcase, which they were doing up there. And these are all products produced in America. And he was sort of inferring or hinting that there might be close to agreement with Mexico on certain major deals involving the tariff. And he also inferred that, too, with our good European friends, some of which are coming in the next few days.
So his holding their feet to the fire is producing results.
Right.
Well, what's happening in these countries is that the elite are putting pressure on the politicians to do something, because they have figured out that Trump's as bullheaded as they come. And
it's not going to be resolved unless they give a little grounds here.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. You know, and then I think the final thing for those who are market people, about 170 companies in the next few days are going to be coming out with their earnings. So we're going to get a real strong
And what about Google's earnings today?
Oh, my God. Google's earnings. You talk about a blockbuster. Their projection was $9.59. They earned $11.75. And the stock, when I left the house, it was up 60 points.
Which is about 4 or 5%,
right,
I think.
Right, right. I mean, it was
but
around.
But that's still significant.
Still significant. You know, I mean, the stock was around $1,273 a share. But, I mean, Nostradamus could probably do about 4,000 or 5,000 shares.
You think?
All right, let me get a couple other news items in here. Paul Manafort, the jury selection will go forward tomorrow for his trial, which was postponed from the 26th. It was scheduled to start Thursday. I was pretty optimistic to think they could get a jury in that time, but it has now been moved back about a week. The prosecutors have been ordered by Judge Ellis to turn over a list of all their witnesses, and he has said that he will reveal the identities of the 5 witnesses that have been given immunity in this case to testify against Paul Manafort. The president is considering, at the behest of Rand Paul, revoking the security clearances of, John Brennan, Michael Hayden, James Clapper, Lion Leaking Thieving Jim Boy Comey, Andrew McCabe, and Susan Rice.
I like the last one, Susan
Rice.
Why does
Susan Rice still have clearance?
Why did any of these people still have clearance? A lot of people wonder. A lot of people who have security clearances keep them after they leave office so that they can be consulted by the people who follow them.
But, Chris, do they get up-to-date minute information on
that? I don't know.
Because I hope not. Not if they're my opponent. Are you kidding me?
If they have clearance
all the time?
I would imagine, say, if the president, if he happened to have decent people, not people like Brennan and others, but say James Woolsey or somebody like that, he wants to call in and says, I need your help on this situation, and he can show them information that he can get their opinion on.
But does clearance mean full access? Can they actually go in and look for things on their own?
I would imagine they probably have connections that can do most of the footwork for them.
And well, clearance or not, they've all got people right. they've worked with and, the, on the inside.
And what the president is saying is that they're using their clearance for monetary gain. Because
right. They're monetizing the information they have.
By selling themselves to the media.
For you and me when we right. watch CNN and all the channels. Here they are. Yeah.
Clapper works for CNN. Mm-hmm. Brennan works for NBC. I think Susan Rice is, I don't know if she's working for anybody, but she does do interviews. Offering up her expertise. So that's, of course, gotten people up in arms. And the situation with Iran, President Rouhani of Iran made an inflammatory speech at one of their government conferences. Right. And the president responded with a tweet that says, no more threats or you're going to get like you never got before.
Like a punch in the face.
Right. And what's interesting is, though, that Mike Pompeo made a speech the other day in which he said the United States is prepared not only to tighten sanctions on Iran in general, but to tighten sanctions on people who have been a big part of the problem, including this guy named Soleimani. General Soleimani.
Right, he is their bad guy.
Right, and he's known around the Middle East as Super Mani. Mm-hmm. And he was involved when we were in Iraq, coordinating insurgent forces there. He's been involved in Syria. This guy's considered a military genius, and the sanctions will apply to him personally as well as others in the Iranian government. And Mike Pompeo also said, we're going to do a little bit of Russian tampering of our own in Iran, you might say, because we are going to use their TV, radio, digital, everything to let the Iranian people know we stand with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Iran, they'll buy spots on Facebook in Iran.
Yeah. Maybe they'll buy advertising on the American Adversaries radio show. We're yeah. worldwide. Hey. Right? They can watch us on yeah. Facebook.
They can
politicians listen to us. They do.
That's it. All right, we got some poll numbers out of the Wall Street Journal, too. When we come back, we'll get to that. We'll take a break, come back. We got Diane and Sherry on the line. We'll get their phone calls. We got these Wall Street Journal poll numbers. Also, we're going to tell you about Noel Remigan, I think is how you pronounce his name, U.S. Secret Service. And, well, we'll get to it when we come back. Yeah.
Sanctuary City.
Yeah. Fair Treatment of All Trust Act policy. Say it right now.
FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer.
Here from Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals.
Like Bahama cruises from $249 per person. Or how about a 7-night Alaska cruise from $649 per person? On Celebrity Cruises, book a balcony or higher on a 7-night select Caribbean, Europe, or Alaska sailings and receive specialty dinner for two. Get free prepaid gratuities on select sailings with Oceania Cruises. Sandals and Beaches all-inclusive resorts are up to 65% off. Get free prepaid gratuities on select Avalon Waterways River Cruises. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to the American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdowns as far back as Lake Monroe. They clear up in Lake Mary but get congested again in Altamont Springs. All the way through downtown Orlando doesn't clear up until after the Dr. Phillips Attractions and Millennia area. 408 eastbound starting to get a little congested in the 408 417 exchange. 408 westbound has some congestion when you get off I-4 that clears up right after John Young Parkway. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Victory we predict for thee, ever true to you, dear old white and blue. Onward stay, onward stay. Roar, Lions, roar. Hit that line, roll up the score. Victory forevermore.
Oh, fight on.
Okay, we're not that far away from the season.
Yeah, college
we open up September 1st against Appalachian State.
Oh, you saw what they did to Michigan.
You're right.
You don't know.
Michigan, we'll see.
All right. The firm foundation of the American Adversaries, one Aubrey Kahn, has joined us in the studio. And we've been talking about the Fair Treatment of All Trust Act, which is a new policy passed today by the Orlando City Council unanimously. And let's go to Diane. Hey, Diane, thanks for calling today. Appreciate you
being
here.
Hey, guys, I'm great. Mina came out today and said he was going to enforce the policy.
So he was going to do what the policy says.
We got our answer.
Well, yep. All right.
Okay.
Did he give it? I take it he didn't give his opinion of the policy. He just said he was going to enforce it.
He said he was going to enforce it, and he said this does not mean that Orlando is a sanctuary city.
No, it does not, but it means we're going down that road quite
that's
a ways.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's what he said.
Yeah.
And he's just following orders.
All right.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And
well,
Susan Rice, if I'm not mistaken, is working for Netflix.
That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right,
she got some of the millions that the Obama family got.
Right. And right. I don't know that that would fit the scenario the president was referring to, that she's using her security clearance for monetary gain.
Maybe in a production
certainly
something?
She used her fame to get that slot. All right, thank you, Diane. Appreciate you being there. All right, we'll take Sherry's phone call. Sherry, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sherry, how you been?
Fine. Listen, that show last week, your 8th anniversary, was one of the best shows you ever had.
Wasn't that fun? Yeah, definitely. It would go down with the classics, that's for sure.
I wanted to call in, but I just said, now I got to sit here and listen to what everybody has to say.
All right. Appreciate that.
But listen, I was calling about the Trust Act, and especially referring to Nina, who's running to become Orange County Sheriff.
Yeah.
And I think the guy that's running against him is, Joe Lopez?
Joe Lopez is one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've listened to him on several different calls, and I think this guy is great. I think people need to, you know, forget about Mina. He's so calm. He's so mundane. I don't like him. I know he's your police chief because you live in our city of limits. But
at least for now, I'm rethinking it. That's for sure.
The movie ban will be there
tomorrow.
Especially
in this housing market, I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, with all these people, it's gonna be a thing where it's gonna bring all these other people in.
Yeah, it is certainly an invitation of sorts. Yeah, that's absolutely sure. And it should definitely be a campaign issue. There's no question about that.
But one more thing.
Yeah.
There's a race going for attorney general between a woman named Moody and a guy named White.
Right.
Right.
There have been advertisements for White on TV for the last week. Now today I first saw that female Moody.
Yes.
And could you check into that?
Yeah, we've actually interviewed Ashley Moody on the show. She's being backed by Pam Bondi.
That's what they said on her campaign ad today.
And that's correct. And also about 3/4 of the sheriffs of the state of Florida.
But they also said that she was for abortion.
That I don't know.
She was a Democrat at one time, and she actually sued Trump.
And those things we are venturing to check out. All right, because I had not.
That's what I'm calling you about.
All right, I had not heard those allegations till I saw Frank White's ad myself. He's a state legislator. She was a prosecutor and then a judge, and she gave up the bench to run. So we'll look into that to find out. But a lot of these allegations are stretched, but they may be true. We'll find out, and maybe she has a good explanation. Maybe not. We'll find out. Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate it. All right. Okay, Aubrey.
The Fair Act. According to my understanding, I didn't read the whole thing, but according to my understanding, they cannot question the immigrant status of people that have not committed a crime.
Well, that they have stopped, that they have not arrested. is my understanding. So, you know, there's I guess there's maybe some little gray area in there. I endeavor to read the act myself. It just passed this afternoon unanimously. So
yeah,
we'll find out.
I even wonder about, like, you know, parking tickets, traffic tickets.
Well, you see, the thing is, if they haven't committed a crime...
We got to go. We'll be right back.
Later.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. 5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A man clad in black fired a handgun into restaurants and cafes in a lively Toronto neighborhood on Sunday, killing a 10-year-old girl and an 18-year-old woman and wounding 13 others in an attack that has shaken the confidence of many in the normally safe city. Authorities identified the suspect as Faisal Hussein, 29, of Toronto, who died after an exchange of gunfire with police. It was not immediately clear whether he killed himself or was killed by police. The mass shooting late Sunday in Toronto's Greektown neighborhood came just 3 months after a van struck and killed 11 people in an apparent attack directed toward women. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 14 points to 25,044. The NASDAQ, however, rose 22. The S&P advanced 5. Oil down 37 cents to $67.89 a barrel. More details at srnnews.com.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Yo, it's me. It's me. It's DDP.
Yo, it's me. DDP. Diamond Dallas Page, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, a three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversary Drive Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
And we're back. Got Mike McBath in on a Monday night. Got Aubrey Kahn in on a Monday night. Got Nostra Dennis and myself, Christopher Hart. Nick's on the bridge, 407-774-8255 is the number. We're getting Dino Rentos lined up on the line. I see we got him lined up on the line. So let's go to Dino Rentos across town here at Dino Rentos Studios, where they make the magic, so to speak. Can we say that? Is that too close to the...
You can say whatever you want, Chris. You're the titan of talk radio.
Yeah, the voice to be reckoned with. Dino Rentos, how you doing tonight?
Good, good, good. Working hard over here, making props and theming companies and doing all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah. Tell us what you're working on today. Are you guys building anything over there? Big things?
Yeah, we have a couple of pharmaceutical companies, and they're doing trade shows, and so we're making giant 8-foot versions of some of their medical products. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I got to compliment Dino. His bitcoins are up around 7,600, somewhere up in that area. Last time I look, right, Dino? You got to be happy. That's good for you, you know?
Yeah, they go up and down. Let me start this off with that. This is just educational. It's not financial advice. We want you to learn about cryptos before you get involved and invest any type of money, and hopefully we can give you some knowledge and point you in the right direction to do that.
Hey, Dino, before we get to today's cryptocurrency lesson, let me ask you a couple of questions about this Russian hacking business. Mueller came out with indictments against 12 Russian hacking spies. In other words, these are guys, I guess, that work computers over there in Moscow in whatever building. And they are alleged to have hacked into the DNC and gotten their hands on 33,000 emails and the like. I got two basic questions for you. First of all, there are reports that the FBI was able to pinpoint when this actually occurred, when the 33,000 emails were downloaded. Now, according to some people, some security experts, they say that the amount of information that was downloaded in the time that it was downloaded, the time that the FBI says that it took, that it would have been impossible to do that from a remote location. It would have had to have been done by somebody right there in the DNC. Any truth to that?
Well, both points have valid references. When you start to download, first of all, to know when this stuff is downloaded, you would have to have some kind of a log system or to look at the bandwidth that was used. Now, depending on how much data there was, it could take a couple of days to download it all. If it's a smaller amount, they could have downloaded it all in a couple of hours. Now,
does it make it?
It would be far more efficient to put a USB stick in there and then download it that way.
Okay, so it could be done much quicker if you do it that way.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. If you're at the terminal or have direct access to the server itself, you could copy the stuff out probably in under 30 minutes.
Okay.
But, large files, to transfer over the internet, could easily take, a day or two. It could take 30 hours depending on how much data there is.
And according to the reports that I've seen anyway and read, this action didn't last that long. In other words, it was done in a matter of hours, not over 30 hours or days. It was several hours that this information was downloaded, which would seem to indicate to you that it was done at the location rather than remotely.
A couple of hours kind of tells me it was downloaded via the internet, because if it was done on a USB stick, it would be done really quick.
Okay.
Over that, and it also tells me that the files were mainly containing text, and there wasn't a whole lot of them.
Okay, well, supposedly there were over 30,000 just of the emails of Hillary Clinton's they got. Well, another question. I heard a hacker, a former hacker, talking about this, and he was saying he didn't use his computer to hack per se. He would access somebody else's computer and use their computer to hack. Can you do this multiple times? Can you have like multiple layers of you're using somebody else's computer to use somebody else's computer to use somebody else's computer to hack somebody? Can it be done that way?
Yeah, there are services that you can get out there where you can have a virtual PC, and they sell this. So basically, have a machine set up in, let's say, India, and they have a data center, and you can use a window You open it up, and you can control the computer that's in India just like you were sitting in front of it. And you use that to connect to another one that's, say, in Amsterdam. All right, and then you control that one. Then you go into another one. And so you can have this machine controlling a machine controlling a machine, and there's no way to trace it back really to you in any way. And so that's how it's done.
So how could they say with any certitude that these Russians did this at a given time?
All they know is the IP that that's the whole rub. All they know is the IP that connected to that server. They can go back and take a look at that. They have no idea. You would have to investigate what that IP was connected to. And if it was connected to a virtual PC, it could have been connected to anybody. It could have been somebody right here in the United States, you know, and you just do it virtually from Russia or the Ukraine and then come back. And it looks like it was being hacked from over there.
All right. That's what I suspected, and that's what the president's been saying.
So how do we ever prove this against some of these
people? Well, see, the Mueller doesn't have to prove it. He's relying on the fact that he'll never have to prove it.
Yeah.
Is that he can say these things,
terrible.
People take it as fact,
yep.
even though they're just allegations and charges, and very flimsy one at that, from what we just heard, and yet they're being passed off as reality. And
exactly.
So, well, let's talk cryptocurrency for a minute. First of all, after we had discussions last time, a couple of weeks ago, I got an email from a fella who wanted to know what is, I asked you about it earlier, the type of currency. You remember, fiat currency. What is fiat currency? He wanted to know. What is fiat currency? Mike, do you know what fiat?
So we were talking about buying coins and using your fiat dollars to do that. So a fiat currency is the currency issued by the government or recognized by the government. So in the United States, the fiat currency is U.S. dollars. You know, in India or whatever, it might be rupees. And, you know, in U.K., it's sterling or whatever.
Okay.
So that is what's considered as the fiat dollar, the recognized government money.
Okay, so we have
fiat. It's recognizable money.
Right, exactly. Right, the fiat currencies as opposed to cryptocurrencies. The fiat currency would be like money you carry around in your wallet in your back pocket, as opposed to cryptocurrencies where you carry around in your digital wallet. So,
exactly.
Okay.
I carry U.S. greenbacks in my wallet. That's my fiat currency.
Right, okay. All right, Mike did mention that Bitcoin has been up.
We've had a nice little rebound in the last week's time.
Right, and even though Warren Buffett isn't into it, I have been hearing some other investors biting into Bitcoin because, as I think we've mentioned on the show here, is that there will be a place for it within the digital world, and that place is going to expand over time. Is that how you see it happening? In other words, the use of these will expand over time.
Yeah, the blockchain itself is a pretty cool technology, and it's sort of like a database, but it's connected with the cryptocurrency. You have to have the two because you need the miners to make the database work, and they have to be rewarded for spending their money on the electricity, and they're rewarded in this cryptocurrency. So the whole concept are definitely here to stay. It's not going anywhere. And what's happening is that these banks all are recognizing this. They're all getting involved. You have Coinbase, which is like one of the biggest entry places. So if you were starting new, you go to Coinbase, and that's where you can change your fiat to crypto. You know, they're buying banks. They're setting up institutional investor toolkits, and you even have some of these larger companies that do trading creating ETFs like BlackRock and OBE. They're all starting to put in requests to the SEC to be able to do an EFT, which basically will allow the average person who has an account with BlackRock, they can actually allocate and put money into cryptocurrencies. And they will then go out and purchase them for that customer, and so they can keep them in their portfolio. All these things are coming, and that's the reason why there was a big bump. Or should I say one of the big reasons there was a big bump last week was this announcement that they're trying to make these ETFs happen.
You know, do they price them daily, hourly, second, minute? How do they price these, I mean, particularly if I want to convert, you know, dollars across?
Right. So it basically is on the nanosecond to nanosecond meter, basically. And it obviously, you know, just because I have a coin, it doesn't mean, you know, what is it worth? Well, it's worth what that person is willing to pay you for. So there's a meeting of the minds, and eventually, you know, this guy wants so much and this guy wants to spend so little, and eventually there's a meeting of the minds, just like the stock market. It's the same.
But do you have a liquid market all the time? Like if I called up the day and said, hey, you know, I got $50,000 and I want to convert right now, do you have a price for me that is this universal price for everybody
at that given moment?
Yeah, well, each exchange has a price. So, for example, Coinbase is a very popular way to get your fiat into, you know, cryptocurrencies. If you go there, you'll see the price chart and what exactly at that second it is selling for.
So they will do it at that second, not at the close or at the opening?
No, it doesn't. It is, crypto is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365.4 days a year.
Right. Well, that's because some ETFs and mutual funds price
at the end of the day.
Right. And but no, this is more like a 24-hour stock market where it is that given price at that given moment. And but
right, now the ETFs, you know, you would probably have to follow the rules of whoever is providing or selling that ETF. But if you wanted to go directly into the and purchase the cryptos themselves, you could do that anytime, any place, anywhere by going to the site.
For those who may not know, an ETF is an electronically traded fund where you wouldn't invest necessarily directly in Bitcoin. You would invest in the fund, which would invest in Bitcoin and trade in Bitcoin. Let me ask you this. Mike asked, is it liquid buying into the market? Is it liquid getting out of the market? Let's say I have a Bitcoin or a piece of a Bitcoin and I need to raise some money today. Can I do that?
No, you will not get your money today. It takes, you know, you can sell it today and lock in your price, and it takes usually, you know, they've got to electronically transfer the funds. I've gotten, you know, if I traded out $100, you know, I've gotten it, you know, next business day. It could take up to 3 days.
Okay, that's
if you're a billionaire, it could take a lot more if you're working with hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right, right. And now Bitcoin's the one that gets all the attention, but as you've been telling us before, there's Ethereum and other coins as well. Have they followed suit with Bitcoin? Have they gotten a bump over the last week or so?
Well, all of the those are all considered alternative coins. Altcoins is the lingo that people use. And when Bitcoin goes down, all the other coins are paired to Bitcoin. You kind of have to have the Bitcoin first to buy into these altcoins. So you're stuck with this middleman. So when Bitcoin goes down, it drags everybody with it. And vice versa, when it goes up, it floats all boats in the harbor. So the answer to your question is that Bitcoin directly affects the price of all these different coins.
All right, and the main thing is
with mining,
right,
can affect the pricing.
All right, now unless you're mining, if you're looking at this as some sort of investment opportunity, and once again, it's a very risky one. You need to just, you know, be very careful with this. This is why we're going in. This is why we're, you know, educating you as much as possible. You need to be very careful about the exchange that you use, correct?
Well, some exchanges have more liquidity, in other words, meaning there are more people. Let's say, you know, on an exchange and there's only 100 people on there who are willing to buy, and I want to sell my Bitcoin for $1 billion. Well, you got to have somebody who's going to give you $1 billion. And if there's only 100 people there, the odds of somebody handing you $1 billion is limited.
Let me ask this.
So if you have,
go ahead, finish your thought, and I have one more question.
So if you have an exchange that has hundreds of thousands of traders, and you wanted to sell for $1 billion, maybe there's somebody out there who would do that. You have a greater chance.
Okay.
So depending on, you know, whatever you're selling. So like if I buy $100 worth, it'll be a lot easier for me to sell it if there's a lot of buyers on that exchange.
Is there a place where people can get information like this on these exchanges?
Yeah, you can Google online and look at the crypto exchanges, and you can find some of the more popular ones, of things like Binance, and Bittrex, BitMEX, even the GDAX Pro, or they changed it to Coinbase Pro now, actually.
Okay.
What GDAX used to be. You know, these are all reasonably large exchanges.
You know, one last question. Does the SEC have any form of website or anything that discusses the issue?
They're starting to create information for the public. So government-based information is going to be a little sparse. I think they're still trying to learn. There's a lot of people in government that don't even understand how to put their shoes on right to begin with. They don't understand crypto. So it takes a little bit of time for them to catch up.
Okay.
Going online and YouTube and what have you, you can get some information, but you want to definitely get multiple sources because there's always different point of views.
All right. Once again, thanks, Dino. We appreciate it as we continue to educate ourselves about this.
Smarter in this area? Thank
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
Very good, Dino.
Yep, very good. Okay.
Yep.
All right, Dino, I'll be talking to you in a day or two myself. But thanks again, Dino. That's Dino Rentos, Dino Rentos Studios. You just heard they can make anything over there. Aubrey,
they made him
a nice, beautiful display stand and everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
beautiful.
You can see it clear across the room, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All this sort of thing. The cutouts that you see here, the one of Donald Trump was made at Dino Rento Studios. And as I said, they made everything from like a life size, real detail to detail version of the Liberty Bell.
I'm still amazed he did the character, not the characters, but the players for the Magic right down in the arena.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously he has to have a strong reputation if.
Right.
They're going to him to produce.
You want to decorate your business? You want to decorate your house, say, for a party? Anything like that, from the simple to the elaborate, they can do it at DinoRentoStudios.com. We'll take a break, come back, and we got a couple other things to get to, some poll numbers and an essay Nostradamus has stumbled across. So please stick around for more of the American Adversaries radio show.
Sounds pretty academic, an essay.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do a little story for you now about Noel Remigen. Is it Remigen?
I think it's Remigen. I think that's how it's pronounced. He is a special agent with the Secret Service, and he died last week after suffering a stroke during President Trump's trip to Belgium, the UK, Scotland, and Finland. He was a 19-year veteran of the service, meaning he served through Bush, he served through Obama, he served through the Trump administration. His body arrived today at 1:30 p.m. via U.S. Air Force military airlift to Joint Base Andrews in Maryland. He suffered this stroke while he was in charge of protecting John Bolton while they were over at Trump Turnberry in Scotland, which is one of Trump's golf resorts.
Right.
And I don't know. I know I'm a crazy conspiracy theorist, but it's just reminding me of Scalia. It really is.
Well, the man was healthy by all outward appearances.
Yeah.
And he had a recent physical.
And he was not very old. You wonder, doesn't he have to take a physical each year in those different services?
I believe so, yeah.
Sure do. He leaves behind a wife and two children. And he served in the Marine Corps before he joined the Secret Service.
Noel Remingen. Yeah. And, you know, the Secret Service guys do their work, and nobody kind of even supposed to know they're there.
Yep.
And at least I think that part of the government has not been politicized, as far as I know, because there are a lot of Secret Service agents who serve president after president after president from both sides.
That's right. And they serve faithfully whether they like the guy or not. They were treated like hell by Hillary Clinton, and yet they still protect her to this day.
Yeah. His name will be
treated
on.
Treated like hell by Michelle.
Yeah. All right.
His name is going to be on the wall of honor that the service has.
All right. Speaking of being treated like hell, Trump supporters have been getting treated like hell. And Nostradamus has a little something for us here.
This is a great. If I read this verbatim, it'd be about 10 minutes long. I don't have 10 minutes. I have about three or four.
Read everything.
But I'll get
about
to
a certain congresswoman?
Yeah. No. This is by a guy. His name is author Evan Sayet. He is the author of a book called Kindergarten of Eden, How the Modern Liberal Thinks. And I'm going to rip through as much of it as I can tonight. My leftist friends constantly ask me if I'm not bothered by Donald Trump's lack of decorum. They ask if I don't think his tweets are beneath the dignity of the office. Here's my answer. We right-thinking people have tried dignity. We tried statesmanship. We tried propriety. And the results were always the same. This is because while we were playing by those rules, the left has, for the past 60 years, been engaging in a knife fight where the only rules are those of Saul Alinsky and the Chicago mob. I don't find anything dignified, collegial, or proper about Barack Obama's lying. Lying about the deaths of four Americans in Benghazi. Lying about weaponizing the IRS. Yet Obama's painted as articulate and polished. But in no way was he the least bit dignified, collegial, or proper. During wartime, things like dignity and collegiality just aren't what you need in a warrior. Ulysses Grant was a drunk whose behavior might have well got him drummed out of the army for conduct unbecoming. But Lincoln recognized that and said, "I cannot spare this man. He fights." Same with George Patton. He was a vulgar talking man. But had FDR decided that decorum was important, well, Hitler and the socialists would be five decades into their thousand-year Reich. Now, that's just icing on the cake, but it's wonderful to see that not only is Trump fighting, he's defeating the left using their own tactics. His tweets might seem rash and unconsidered, but in reality, he is doing exactly what Alinsky suggested his followers should do. So to my friends on the left, and to all the never-Trumpers as well, do I wish we lived in a time when our president could be collegial and dignified and proper? Of course I do. But these are not those times. This is war, and it's a war that the left has been fighting without opposition for the past 50 years. So say what you want about this president. I get it. He can be vulgar. He can be crude. He can be undignified at times. I don't care. I can't spare this man. He fights for America. Evan Sayet.
Evan Sayet. We'll link up to that on our Facebook page.
Right. Did you hear about Maxine Waters?
No.
She's complaining.
Oh, because people are harassing her.
Because Republicans are accosting her in the streets.
Too bad for Maxine.
That's awful.
They just want her wig.
And by the way, he says it much more eloquently, but we were saying for a long time ago that what Trump does, he gives what my dad used to say, a taste of their own medicine.
And right. He's the only one of those 17 guys on the podium who could do it. I like Ted Cruz of all the candidates. Right. Ted Cruz would not have done what Trump is doing the way he's doing.
You know, Ted Cruz may yet be president of this country.
Perhaps.
I would not be surprised.
Perhaps.
And he's a quick earner, learner, too.
And it would be more the appropriate time for Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. This was the time for a Donald J. Trump. Given the state of politics in the country, the state of the Obama administration, the state of politics in the world, the times demanded a man like Donald or a person like Donald Trump. And lo and behold, here he is. And I am proud to say we saw it from the beginning.
Yep, and I'm glad he has an ego like he has, which I'm sure a lot of people, you know, are uncomfortable with
sure.
it. But, I mean, that's what you need to be this type of leader.
I think that President Trump is working from two basic principles, two very basic principles. One, America first. And all good things sort of flow from that in terms of politics and world affairs and all that. The other principle that he's working from is that all human beings, when you get right down to it, are the same. Right?
Right. Same emotions.
Whether it's Kim, Putin, Pelosi, somebody in the media, or his daughter. Everybody is a human being, and we all have the same frailties, strengths. Exactly.
Yep, you got it.
It's all human nature, and he knows how to work within that. Thank you, Nostradamus.
Got it.
Thank you, folks. Night, everybody. Larry Elder next. Night, everybody.
Good night.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group.